We're going to read from God's Word that can be found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 18. And that is page 980 of your pew Bibles. As I said, I will be reading in the NIV, probably actually mainly because it's one of those passages that if you know really well in one version, it's really hard to read in another version. So this is God's Word, a wonderfully challenging passage that really at the end encourages us as His church to shine like stars for the Lord in the places where He places us. This is God's Word, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Amen, and may the Lord bless and challenge us with the reading of His Word. Have you ever stood in the middle of nowhere and just looked up at the stars? I remember supervising Duke of Edinburgh expeditions many years ago in BB and for school as well. And at night I would just lie there in the middle of the moors and just look up at the stars. Without the light pollution of the town that I lived in, it was amazing to me. It opened my eyes. I was like, wow, so many, so bright, so unbelievably beautiful. And when I get the occasion now, if I'm outside of town or wherever in the countryside, I just love to sit back, look up at the stars. I am struck by the wonder of it, the amazing creation that God has created, all of them. Creation is awesome. But the God of all creation created us, and He loves us. As we read earlier in verse 15, that God calls us to shine like stars in the world. And I love the imagery of this verse, that we, the disciples of Jesus Christ, who because of the gospel of Jesus, now live different lives. We now live gospel lives, and we are to shine like stars in and through the darkness of this world. The sad reality is that we live in an increasingly, as verse 15 describes it, crooked and depraved generation. Just read or watch the news. Listen to today's music videos. Watch the movies. The laws that are being introduced. The changes in society. It is increasingly becoming a post-church, post-Christian society. The church is having less and less influence within society. And I fear that it is only going to get worse. It is going to get darker. And we know that that is not what Jesus wants for the world. When Jesus was on this earth, he said in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus came. He was sent by God to be the light in a dark world, bringing gospel hope and change to the world. And this has always been God's plan for the world. From the beginning of time, even back in Genesis, as God said to Abraham about his offspring in Genesis 12, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God's people were to be a source of blessing, bringing hope and light to the world. Even after God had punished his people and sent them into exile in Babylon, into a land where they were captive, in the minority, surrounded by idolatrous worship, surrounded by people who didn't know or care for God. What did God tell his people? He said in Jeremiah, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for if it prospers, you too will prosper. God's people, no matter how weak or oppressed they seemed, they were to be a source of blessing, to bring hope and light into the world. They were to shine like stars in the world. For us now, as we live in the world, we, it has to be said, are in the minority. Surrounded by idolatrous worship, people who don't know or care for Jesus. And what does Jesus say to us, to his disciples? He says that you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus clearly calls those who follow him, his disciples, the church, to be like him, to bring light in a dark world, to bring gospel hope to the world. We are to shine like stars in the world. Phil Hybels, minister of a pastor even, of a really, really big church in America, says that the local church is the hope of the world. And I believe that he is totally right. I believe in the importance of the local church. And when it functions properly, it will shine like stars and bring light, gospel hope to the local community and then on to the world. The question for us now is this. Is how brightly maybe, are we shining for Jesus now? And the challenge for many of us is this. Are we actually hiding our light under a bowl? So collectively, as a church and individually, we need to ask this question and answer it. And this passage that we are going to look at this morning, we find very quickly, anyway, don't worry, six It's six principles, but they're short principles. Six important principles that will help us to shine like stars. Paul starts Philippians chapter 2 by stating the disciples' motivation. The disciples' motivation for shining like stars. He says, verse 1, if you've got your Bibles opened, just read through this with me. In verse 1, we see that as disciples, we are to be encouraged by being united with Jesus. We are to be comforted from Jesus' love. We are to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our guide and our advocate. And Jesus is to be the source of our affections and compassion. These are important and powerful motivations for us as disciples to shine brightly. If we are lacking in any of these, then we will not shine as brightly as we are called to. We will not shine like stars. If anything else is number one in our affections, then Jesus, we will not shine brightly. If we are not having fellowship with the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us through the Word of God, then we will not shine brightly. If we are comforted by anything else other than Jesus, we will not shine brightly. If we do not find our encouragement from that fact that we, through his life, death, and resurrection, are united with Jesus, then we will not shine brightly. Then, verse 2. Says that Paul tells us about the importance of unity within the church as we seek to shine like stars. As disciples, we are to be like-minded. We are to be of the same love, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. The sad fact is that division is one of the biggest problems within churches. It stops so many from shining brightly in the world. The reality is that the unity of the church is vital to us effectively shining. Unless we are loving one another as Jesus commanded, selflessly as Jesus loved us, spending time with one another, really knowing one another, praying together, studying together, serving together, and respecting one another, then how can we be like-minded or one in spirit and purpose? Paul points out then in verse 3 the enemies of unity. He says, selfish ambition and vain conceit. These are constant enemies for the church as we seek to shine like stars. But sadly, these two, they so easily manifest themselves within us. As we serve, it is really easy to make it about ourselves, about me. I did this. My idea is the best idea. Vanity can creep in so subtly. And when it does, what does it do? Well, it destroys relationships. It destroys friendships. It destroys ministries. We can deceive ourselves by saying things like, but sure, it's okay because the other person was in the wrong, or I didn't want to serve in that ministry because that's not the way I would do it. That way of thinking is simple. It is selfish ambition and vain conceit. And every single one of us is susceptible to these. So we need to be careful, because they can destroy our unity. They can stop us shining like stars. Maybe we need to repent of some selfish ambition, some vain conceit. Maybe there are relationships that need to be restored. Because remember, we are called to shine like stars because of what Jesus has done for us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. And these will stop us shining. When the church is divided, the outside world is turned off. And Paul challenges us in verse 14, do everything without complaining or arguing. Which brings us nicely to the next thing that Paul tells us about shining like stars. In verses 3 and 4, Paul reminds us about the importance of humility. Without humility, we simply can't shine. We are to consider others better than ourselves. We are not to look selfishly only to our own needs, but selflessly to the interests and needs of others. You've heard the old children's talk about joy. It's simple, you know, if you want to have joy in your life, just think of joy. J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. It's an easy children's talk, probably should have used it. But, you know, it's so true that we're to put Jesus first, others before ourselves, and then us. But this is where being a disciple of Jesus Christ is really hard, where it's really countercultural. Our culture is all about me. It's all about self first. And we are to be the opposite of that. But it is exceptionally hard for us to fight against what is all around us. So we need to be careful about this. If we are not humble, we will put ourselves first, our needs before everyone else's, before everything else. And it will be very simply just like putting a bowl over our light. I love here how Paul tells us to do all of this. And he knows that it's hard, that it's really hard to do all of these challenging things that he is saying. So he gives us the ultimate example of Jesus. Jesus is our example to challenge and encourage us. And we see this in verses 5 to 11. Jesus put God's plans and our salvation before himself. And I love this section, verses 5 to 11. It's thought that this was a hymn or something like that in the early church. As they would meet together, they would sing through these words, they would repeat them as they worshipped God. Many years ago, I memorized this passage of Scripture. And time again, the Holy Spirit has brought it back to my mind. It challenges me about my attitude as a disciple and encourages me because it is a wonderful summary of the gospel. The humility of Jesus as a servant on earth. And then his exalted position in heaven. And at the very end, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But we know that at the judgment when that happens, it will be too late for so many. It also reminds me of the vital importance of being Jesus' humble servant to my ability to shine for him in the dark world, so that as many people as possible will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord before it is too late. If we struggle with humility, then it will negatively affect our ability to shine brightly for Jesus. Next, we see that disciples shine like stars as we obey. Not having much fortune on that right now. So we need to obey. See there, verse 12. Obedience to the commands and the word of God. And we know these commands and word of God so well. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He said to love your neighbor as yourself. And that meant the world, those around us. And then Jesus adds to this, he says that we are to love the church, we are to love one another, because that will be a powerful witness in the world, that we are to go and we are to make disciples. We are to teach them to obey all that he has commanded us. We are to be fishers of men. As we live obedient lives to God, it will help us to shine like stars. But the problem is, again, this is really countercultural. It's hard to do. We live in a time when if you say you're obeying God's word, and there are many examples of this, that you will be criticized. You will be called unloving, full of hate, and even evil. The truth is that it is becoming increasingly difficult to live in obedience to God. Take the example of the area of purity as Paul encourages in verse 15. It is increasingly difficult to be pure in our culture. In our culture which is hyper-sexualized. In our society that has normalized promiscuity, that has normalized pornography. We see it all around us. And it is damaging society, it is damaging relationships and families. And sadly, where individuals and churches compromise in areas of obedience to God's word, their light sadly fades. So as Paul said, we need to hold fast to the word of God. Verse 16, as you hold out the word of life. In the Greek, another understanding of that phrase is to hold fast to the word of life. Because the Bible and its teachings, they will keep us right in God's eyes. They will help us to remain pure and blameless and without fault in this generation. We need to help each other in this as well, I believe. We need to help each other to hold fast to the Bible as we read and study it together. As we confess and pray with and for each other. You know, if we try and do this all by ourselves, do it alone, the fact is that we will fail. And it's probably why so many people in the church actually slip up in areas of obedience. And it's because we're scared. We're scared of being vulnerable with each other, showing that maybe we struggle with something. When the opposite should be true. We are called to love one another. We are called to hold one another up. We are called to pick one another up in love. Not in judgment. So let us help each other to be obedient as we share life together. Let us shine brightly, being disciples, holding fast to the word of life, together obeying it. Because we know how important it is. It is the power to bring life, hope, light, and blessing. As disciples, we shine like stars also, we see as we continue on, as we serve. Service, verses 12 and 13. This isn't saying that we work for our salvation. We are saved through faith in Jesus Christ as we repent and follow him. We are justified. But work or service is part of following him. We can't love one another or the world if we don't serve. Work for the Lord is simply something we are called to do. Paul reminds us, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. The Holy Spirit works in each and every Christian, guiding, prompting, convicting, reminding us of Jesus' teachings. So that we work together as one body, each with our own purpose to fulfill according to God's good purpose. This is amazing. Be amazed at it, that God has a purpose for each and every one of us if we know him. A work of service for each and every one that he has equipped us to do through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If we are not serving, then the fact is that we will not be shining as we are called to. Remember, Paul says in verse 7, that Jesus took the very nature of a servant. So like Jesus, we must serve and shine like stars. All of this everything I have said up to now. It is vital as we seek to shine brightly for Jesus in this dark world, where we are, as I said, in the minority, where we are surrounded by idolatrous worship, people who don't know or care about God or Jesus. But all of it is for nothing if we don't do, as Paul says in verse 16, as you hold out the word of life. To really shine brightly, to shine like stars, we need to hold out the word of life. We need to share the gospel. Our motivation must be right. Our unity, our humility, our obedience, our service. But if we are not telling people about Jesus, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, who Jesus is, what he has done for them, and that they need to respond to him, then it is all for nothing. Jesus said in Luke before he went into heaven, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. You are witnesses of these things. We are to share the gospel, the need for repentance and forgiveness. If we don't tell a dark world about Jesus, how can we bring light and hope to it? We will not be shining like stars, but hiding our light under a bowl. It is the greatest privilege and honor for Christians to share the gospel with people who don't know Jesus. As we share our stories of faith with the stories of the people who live around us, who we share our lives with, we have the wonderful privilege and honor of sharing with them the story of salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus, before again he went into heaven, this time in Matthew, gave us the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Basically, as Jesus' disciples, who know the light of Jesus is love, we are to share that light and that love and make more disciples. We are to shine like stars and make more stars. Sadly, in 2017, the world considers the church more irrelevant than in previous generations. So therefore, we are compelled to show them that ours is a better way, that the local church is the hope of the world. I love how C.S. Lewis put it in his book, Mere Christianity. He said this: the church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christs. If they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose. It is doubtful whether the whole universe was created for any other purpose. The stars shine in the sky. They shine magnificently in the sky, showing us and the world how amazing God is. As we shine like stars in the world, let us show the world how amazing God is. As I said at the start, the question is, how brightly are we shining for Jesus? Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we are so thankful for Jesus. We are so thankful for all that he has done and won for us. For his life, his teaching, showing us the way to the kingdom of heaven. Showing us how to be compassionate people, how to love those around us. How to love you, how to spend time with you. How to bring your light into the world. Lord, we pray that you will help us to be like Jesus and to shine brightly where you have put us. Lord, we pray that you will help us to examine our motivation for being your people. that we are motivated because of you and your love, that our relationship with you will be good. Lord, we pray for our relationship with those around us, our Christian brothers and sisters, that there will be unity. And Lord, that you will help us to be humble. Pride is such an enemy. And Lord, if any of us are struggling with pride now, we pray that your Holy Spirit will convict us. Will convict us so that we will turn from that. We will become more humble and we will live for you, being less selfish but more selfless. And Lord God, we pray that you will help us to be an obedient people. Obedient to your word. Lord, give us a love for your word. A desire to read it more and to be changed by it. Let us come to your word daily. And as we do, be changed by it. And Lord, if we have any obedience issues, if we have allowed sin just to stay there, we haven't conquered it, we haven't defeated it, but we know that it is there and it is destroying our relationship, our walk with you. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit now will convict us also. Convict us of that sin that is stopping us shining brightly for you. Turn us back to your word, obedience to you. And Lord, help us to serve you. Lord, if we are not serving, give us guidance, Lord, to what our gifts are and where we could be used and how we could be used for your glory in this church, but also in the world. Lord, give us servant hearts like Jesus. And Lord, over all things, help us to share the gospel. Help us to be bold in our schools, universities, workplaces, homes, sports clubs, streets, the places you put us, to share our love for you. Lord, forgive us for all those opportunities we had to share your love and never took them. Give us boldness to speak boldly for you. Give us wisdom as we share our stories of faith with the world around us. And Lord God, be glorified in all that we do. Let this be a church that shines brightly for you, filled with stars shining brightly for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.